Welcome, everyone, to the Facilitator Teleforum on marketing Get Clients Now and Get Hired Now, What Works and What Doesn't. And this is CJ Hayden speaking. Also facilitating today will be Frank Traditti, the Director of Training and Licensing for Get Clients Now and Get Hired Now. Say hi, Frank.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Frank.
So this line is open for your contributions and questions, but to keep the noise level down, please keep yourself muted unless you have something to say. You can use the mute button on your phone, or you can press star 6 to mute yourself. And we'll stop periodically and ask for questions and comments. Remember that you'll need to unmute yourself by pressing star 6 again when you'd like to say something. If you're speaking and we don't acknowledge you, you are probably still muted. So did anybody else join us that wants to check in while I was off turning on the recording? And do we have any Get Hired?
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dean from Denmark.
Hello, Dean. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
And do we have any Get Hired Now facilitators on the call today, or is everyone here a Get Clients Now facilitator? Any Get Hired Now facilitators with us? Okay, so our focus is going to be on Get Clients Now today. So our topic, what works and what doesn't, is, I think, a really critical topic for us in marketing our Get Clients Now programs and also in passing along to the people that we work with as our clients and our students and our participants, what works and what doesn't. Because I think this is one of the really basic places where people go off track in marketing. You know, there's so many great marketing ideas out there, so many possibilities, so many different things that you can do, and it seems like every day somebody presents you with a new one. And it's so easy to get caught up in that flavor of the month kind of reaction. Ooh, look at that shiny new way of marketing. Let me try that. Instead of really focusing on the basics of, yeah, but what works and what really doesn't work? Maybe something's new, maybe somebody else is having some success with it, but is it the right thing for me to be doing? And I want to name three specific keys that I find overall that really work for marketing Get Clients Now as a group program, as an in-house program, or as a one-on-one coaching program. And also, these are the same keys that I think we need to keep focusing on with the people who are our Get Clients Now students. And the three keys are using marketing that is direct, personal, and active. The second one is creating a network and making use of it. And the third one is persistent, consistent follow-up. So let me say a little bit more about each one of those things. Marketing that is direct, personal, and active. The more likely your marketing approaches are to touch someone one-on-one directly, the more likely they are to be effective. And you also need to be actively engaged in marketing. Because the things that consistently don't work as well are anything that's the opposite of those, right? Marketing that's indirect, marketing that's generic rather than personal, marketing that's passive rather than active, and also any kind of cold approaches are typically not as effective as a warm approach. I'll say a little bit more about that when I, about creating a network and making use of it. But if you remember those keys, that marketing that is direct, personal, and active is always going to be the most effective, I think it really helps you to make decisions about what to do when you're presented with so many different options for how you could potentially market yourself. If you run that test, is this direct or indirect? Is it personal or is it generic? Is it active or is it passive? It's going to help you weed out the things that are likely to have payoff for you versus the things that aren't. So the second key is creating a network and making use of it. Having people who are your referral partners, people who know your work, who are willing to tell others about you, and people who you can call on when you need tips or suggestions or introductions. So not just passively building up a list of people who know you and who you know, but actually making use of that network, staying in touch with people. So, and again, the more personally and directly you can do that, the more powerful your payoff is going to be from that network. And then the third thing that works is persistent, consistent follow-up. And boy, this is such an easy thing to let go of, you know, because it's not the jazzy, exciting part of marketing, right? Following up consistently, persistently. And also, it can be one of the most confronting things that we do in marketing. So I think it's really important to keep that in mind as something that can make a huge difference if we pay attention to it. And, you know, on the flip side, the what doesn't work, I said the opposites of direct, personal, and active, right? Indirect, generic, passive, not so good. Cold approaches. Cold approaches can pay off, but creating a network and making use of it is always going to pay off for you better than cold approaches. Sometimes cold approaches don't pay off at all, and there's a lot of factors that can go into that. But I think, again, it's a key. It's a way of looking at your marketing and saying, is this a warm approach or a cold approach? Let's see how we can warm it up. Maybe that's going to make it better. And then the opposite of persistent, consistent follow-up, the thing that doesn't work, is one-shot tactics. Anything that you do that's only going to touch somebody one time is probably not going to be very effective. Anytime you do any kind of marketing of Get Clients Now, what you need to think about is, okay, how am I going to follow this up? What's going to be the next step? How am I going to stay in touch with these people? What am I going to do to build relationships with them over time? And by asking yourself those questions, you really build in a pre-existing effectiveness to your marketing, because before you even get started, you're asking yourself, how am I going to continue this and make it not a one-shot tactic? So those are three important keys and the flip side of them that I think we need to be keeping in mind. And what we're going to do next is I'm going to ask Frank to contribute some of his keys to this conversation. And then we'll be asking all of you for some of your thoughts about keys to successful marketing. So, Frank, what do you have to say about what works and what doesn't work?
Oh, thank you, CJ. And really good suggestions there. And I think what comes back to what you were saying about the basics of really staying on track, and that's what I heard you say. And I'm going to kind of bolt on to that with three things that I find and have found and have seen others utilize in their systems as what works for them. And first is having a plan. Second is a targeted approach and or a targeted audience. And thirdly is an authentic passion for what you're marketing and selling. So let me talk a little bit about each one of those. Having a plan. Simply put, what you are teaching to your clients, the Get Clients Now system, works as a perfect plan for landing clients for your own GCN programs and or individual clients. And so, you know, you think about, you look at the system, you look at the approach, you build in your marketing strategies, you talk about and you think about where your goals are. What are those places that you're getting stuck in or need help or need to build up on the resources and tools? And then what are those actions that take you through each day, each week, and throughout the 28-day period that you know are going to work for you, you're going to like doing, and are going to be a consistent and persistent approach that CJ just talked about in what she finds that works. And so, you know, we find ourselves as the cobbler's kids, right? We're great at providing the services to others, but when we look inwardly at our own business, maybe we just, it's simple as utilizing what we're teaching. And this is maybe a perfect time to kind of rediscover and develop your own Get Clients Now action plan, incorporating those strategies that you're comfortable with, then ones that you know you're going to do, and then have had also success with in the past. Secondly, the targeted approach and the audience. So marketing to a defined group of clients really benefits you in a lot of ways, and I find that it costs less in both time and money. You'll be able to locate leads and reach out to prospects much more easily because you'll be able to quickly identify who they are. You get to know your market better. When marketing to a finite universe, it becomes much more possible to meet your client base in person. And I really like what CJ said earlier about the one-to-one dialogue and conversation with people. This targeted approach and that targeted audience becomes really that opportunity to connect on a one-to-one conversation with people. And then it's also the ability to build those referral relationships and increase what is probably the best marketing strategy of all, and that's word of mouth. You'll be able to learn more about your market and your audience's problems and concerns, because that's really what you're doing with the Get Clients Now system, right? It is an opportunity to solve a problem or create opportunity, take away some situations and some struggles that they're having, and you can tailor your services and your marketing messages more closely to match what they're seeking. Now, thirdly, is the authentic passion for what you're marketing and selling. I find that if I'm going to buy anything from anybody, I've got to be able to see, feel, hear, and touch and know that person is in it 150%. They're expressing their enthusiasm and passion for what they do. And they also have a real good conversational tone about how it improves and how they understand where I'm coming from. And that's absolutely critical. Now, that passion comes in a lot of different flavors. It can be from an attitude overall about how you are presenting and selling your services. Passion comes from being an educator, someone who shares information, sharing ideas, being someone who is free to say that the information I share and the ideas that I put forward isn't everything I have in my toolbox. And in order to get you engaged in my program and services for Get Clients Now, I am giving you enough to get you to enticed for that. You're an advocate. Your passion can show as an advocate for a cause. The cause is the cause is helping small businesses succeed, where unfortunately 95% of them may fall off the radar screen in 3 years or less. And then a deep understanding, as I mentioned earlier, about your potential clients' problems, challenges, and opportunities. Now, what doesn't work, if you just look at the opposite and kind of the reverse image of those, no plan, going all over the place and not having really a direction or a compass. A haphazard approach to a target audience, maybe a shotgun approach, whereas you think everybody is your client and you want them to be, actually it's better off to really focus down on who is it you want to serve. And then thirdly, in the authentic passion, and I really highlight that word authentic because you have probably seen, heard, or have gotten emails about from people who have that over-the-top expression of passion. And you know, it almost comes across as if I'm going to die a horrible death and I will lose all my money if I don't take advantage of this opportunity right now. Well, that's a little over the top. And the opposite of that, too, is falling flat when really talking about your services and program. So that's kind of the opposite look in what doesn't work. CJ, do you have anything you want to tag on to that and kind of take us into our next section of the call?
That's great, Frank. I think that those are really some essential things for all of us to be focusing on. And again, things that we can teach our Get Clients Now participants about what really works and what doesn't. So let's hear from some of the folks on the call. You know, what we'd love is if some of you have examples of what has worked or what hasn't worked for any of you. Anybody want to contribute something?
Hi, it's Dean from Denmark.
Hi, Dean. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can tell you what a little something that's worked for me. A friend of mine found that there was on week 46, oh, you don't know weeks, maybe you do weeks there in the States, but anyway, week 46 of the year, they have a business on the internet, they have all businesses all throughout the city give some kind of demonstrations or talks, and so business owners go out to them, and so my friend said I should take advantage of that, and it was really great. I went out and did a few talks based on your I can't even think of it now. Anyway, I did a talk basically talking about the five secrets to marketing, and my whole intention was just to, you know, have people be ignited by their passion and getting their passion out there. And that having those talks, just a one-hour talk with people and a question-answer thing, that worked really well. A lot of people, I got a lot of feedback from people that was very positive, and I had them write things, so I got to harvest testimonials for the event, and I had several people register for the upcoming course. And so I thought that was very good.
That's great, Dean. And, you know, public speaking is really one of the ways that I built Get Clients Now to begin with. You know, when I was first getting started here in my local area, and then as time went on, speaking at conferences out of my area and also doing virtual speaking with teleconferences and webinars. So it's a staple of my marketing plan today still for Get Clients Now, because it is the thing that allows you to make use of those keys in such a powerful way. It's direct, it's personal, it's active, right? And it allows you to show your passion for what you're doing and to target a specific audience, to name a couple of the keys that Frank put out there.
Yeah, and I think what was really good is I listened to some of the past tapes that you have made for us, and before I went in to have the conversation with them, and it got me very present to make sure to get them engaged in talking and to give them a demonstration of the kind of coaching they would get instead of me talking a lot, which is what I love to do. So it became magical. Pure magic. People were sharing back and forth, and then I was coaching them, what are you going to do next? What do you see as the next thing? And I had the highest registrations from that event alone.
What a great testimonial for the
That's
power
great.
Of that, and really making it participatory, too, so that you're engaging people.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, thanks for your feedback.
Yeah, Dean, this is Frank. You've struck a powerful chord on an amazing marketing strategy as public speaking. Did in preparation for that, what did you think about? What could you share with the audience here? What did you think about and kind of what was the outcome you wanted to get, and what did you want to get across in that talk?
Well, you know, two things. A friend called me at the last minute. I was really busy, and I had been thinking, when am I going to start my program? And so it was perfect timing that this friend called, you know. And what I said is, I don't have time to really prepare, you know. So what I'm going – but I know that I know enough, and I know that I want to give my gift to the world. And my gift is, you know, that I want people to do what they love and to make a difference in other people's lives and couple that with earning a living. So I had my focus on that, because if I had it just on trying to get clients, I would the fear of not being good enough would stop me from even going out there. But if I went out there, I'd be so focused on getting it right that it would turn it away from them. So I straighten myself out by making sure that my gift is to enlighten and inspire them, that they go away with something they can use, that I get a chance to get out there, but also that people get to know, like, and trust me.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Dean.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to give us an example of something that for you has worked or that hasn't worked?
This is Deirdre.
Yeah, Deirdre.
Hi. Yeah, I love what the gentleman who was just talking. I'm sorry I didn't catch his name, what he was saying. That's great.
Yeah.
Steve, okay. And also, I just want to thank you, CJ. This is my third year as a facilitator, and I just want to thank you for making this open to us because it has been a very big part of my business. So thank you.
Wonderful. You're welcome.
Yeah. So a couple of things that I've noticed have made a really big difference, and I think they're all kind of wrapped up into the keys that you and Frank went over. But, you know, I run about 3 to 5 groups a year, and I usually have between 6 and 10 people per group. And I think the three things that have made a difference for me is, one, being a part of a network that I see on a regular basis. So I'm part of a group that meets every week. And what's happened there is, you know, when I first started, a couple of people took the class, and they raved about it. So next time I offered it, I already had people who wanted to take it. And that has just snowballed, so that every time I offer it, there's already people who are waiting for the next class, and then I have people who are retaking it. So I think that's a really big key is, like you talked about, that network. Being in a place where people are going to hear these natural testimonials really has taken even a lot of the work out of it for me. So that's one. Two is my belief in this program, product, what I can offer and deliver is huge because I've seen the results. And so I actually track what people would typically do versus what they do with me the month they go through the program. And I find that my clients see a 50 to 300% increase in their results.
Wow.
And when I quote that number, and I also track return on investment, and it's usually in the hundreds to thousands of percent, when I quote those numbers, people listen. And then the third thing is charging more. When I've increased my rates, it's actually been easier to get people to sign up.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's really great, Deirdre. And, you know, thanks so much for talking about the importance of that network of people that are buzzing about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, that's definitely something that I've found to be really helpful, you know, whether you're doing it in person or whether you're doing it online, right? So the people are saying,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing this, and other people are seeing that, or, you know, with an in-person group where other people are hearing that, because that
right.
kind of third-party testimonial, you know, you can't buy that. It's so powerful.
Right, absolutely.
Can I ask?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Deirdre. You've built a virtual sales force.
Yeah, and I can send out an email and say, okay, I'm having a class. Who do you know that might be interested? And I have people feeding me leads, which is great. And that didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's taken some time to build that up, but it is that consistent, persistent effort that you were talking about.
Oh, that's great. Now, I heard somebody else's voice that had something to contribute.
Actually, this is Donna, and I was just going to ask Deirdre a question.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Great suggestions. Yep. My first question is, what networking group do you belong to? Is it a BNI or something like that?
It is a BNI, yep.
Okay. And then my second question is, do you market yourself just as a Grit Clients Now facilitator or as a marketing consultant? How do you package what you do to that group?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. No, you know what? I am. My training is as a certified fearless living coach. And so my specialty is helping service professionals get past the fears and excuses and limiting beliefs that are keeping them from being able to go after it in their business. And so I started that way, and then Get Clients Now became a natural progression because my clients were saying, oh, I wish I had an accountability program now that I'm getting past some of these fears. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm sure I could provide that, and I've stumbled upon CJ, fortunately. And so I really talk about, I help people change their, you know, grow their business by changing the way they think and then getting them into focused action. And the Get Clients Now piece is that focused action piece.
Because one of the issues that I've had is I'll have people take the class, but then they won't stick with the program in the follow-up. And so I feel like I'm chasing them to complete their program.
What are you charging?
Well, if I do it individually, I charge $7.95, and if I'm doing it as a group, it's $4.95.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I found out when I wasn't charging very much, I had that issue. Once I started, I charge $4.25 now. Once I started that hasn't come up so much. Maybe one person here or there, but for the most part, I do my groups in person. So I don't know if that makes a difference if yours are virtual, mine are all in person.
Oh, how interesting. And, you know, Deirdre, I think you also named something else that might be key, too, which is, you know, from Fearless Living, you have a set of tools for dealing with people about fear and resistance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all come from different backgrounds, and I think whatever tools we can access that help us deal with fear and resistance and procrastination and adding that into the Get Clients Now work, it can make a huge difference in the kinds of results that people see and the kind of engagement that they feel with the program. Because if it's all about just the doing of it, then we do sometimes lose people. But if we really get into, okay, what's stopping you? What's in your way? And include coaching, then from whatever background we come from and whatever tools we've learned, whether it's, you know, from a coach training school we went to or whether it's NLP tools, whatever it might be, I think that's part of what really keeps people engaged.
I have a question for Deirdre. This is Dean.
Yeah, let's do one more question for Deirdre. Dean, go ahead.
It's just a short one. It's just about your follow-up sessions that you do in person, because I was doing them in person, but I thought it was a bit much for an hour's time that people would drive in and then have an hour's session and then drive off again.
Mm.
Are you doing that for? Are you using an hour only for those sessions?
Well, you know what I do. That's a good question. I do the two workshops in person, and those are usually like two and a half hours long. And then I do four follow up, and I actually do two of them on the phone and two in person for the very reason that you were talking about, Dean.
Okay.
And I usually do an hour and 15 minutes when it's in person, just to allow for people to get there and network and chit chat and all that kind of stuff. And then when it's follow-up on the phone, then I do an hour.
Okay.
So for me, that was like my sweet spot. I tried both, and the hybrid of part of it on the phone and part in person seemed to work the best for everybody.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So thanks, Deirdre, for all of that, and Dean, for your contributions, too, and Donna, for your questions.
Thank you.
Frank, let's have you give us some examples of or some stories about things that work and don't work in your experience.
You bet. And actually, I had I've had a dialogue and conversation with one of our Get Clients Now facilitators, who's been a facilitator for a while now, Loretta Love Huff. And Loretta calls herself the Dream Leader for Business. I love that moniker. And to kind of tie in with where we've been talking about so far, one of her favorite and best strategies is leveraging speaking engagements. And she does this regularly around town to various business groups and primarily for free. And then during that session, offering a Get Clients Now either cash discount or extra bonuses if they sign up on the spot. And collecting contact information from those that don't, and then follow up with them with a series of short audios that explain marketing mistakes, maybe some sales secrets, and things along the line. So there is this system, and I talked earlier about having a plan and a system, right? There is this specific system she uses to engage people right there on the spot, and those that don't, keep connected with them very closely directly after those talks. And on talks where it isn't necessarily or directly related to Get Clients Now program, she has the introduction with the host that the host reads to make sure that she positions her as a highly she is a facilitator of the highly acclaimed Get Clients Now program. And so that positions her as an expert in the field, an expert in the system. And it, and for those that hadn't heard about Get Clients Now, here's something that I need to be listening to and or find out more afterwards. She's also involved in some referral groups, Lay Tip, which is similar to BNI, which you kind of mentioned earlier. And she often again talks about the four marketing stages of Get Clients Now, and that as a way to get people to understand and to why they may be suffering or struggling with that leaving the money on the table trying to get clients. At those sessions or within those, she also offers some complimentary, what she calls strategy sessions. And that, in other words, is a diagnostic sales call, not necessarily coaching. So it's a strategy session that pulls in and talks about what have they been doing, what are they up to, how have they gone about marketing their systems or their programs and services up to this point. And she finds that most of the private Get Clients Now coaching clients come through that stream. So to promote her speaking engagements and where she's going to be, she utilizes, and CJ, I think you're going to talk a little bit about this next, is using the social networking strategy. So Twitter, Facebook, pinging about upcoming preview calls and programs and where she's going to be speaking. So you can see that there's a centerpiece there that she uses around speaking and around getting the message out. But it's also a diversified approach to it. She's using powerful testimonials. They're personalized. And then she's leveraging the coaching and the strategy sessions on bringing people into her business through and delivering and bringing the Get Clients Now programs on board. So I thought she was and Loretta, I don't know if you're on the call. If you are, you can add a few things a little bit later on with us if you are. But so that's one real good example and some stories and some examples of what works. And what I find that and some clients have two clients in particular that I've worked with in the past, that what didn't work was, again, this lack of focus on sticking with a plan. There was a lot of jumping from one strategy to the next, and we talked about this earlier, which was there's always a new strategy or marketing kind of a marketing thing to do every week or every day. And they wanted to get engaged in this multitude of tactics and also wanted to leverage advertising without follow-up. And that, as we know, unless you have a huge budget and you've got all kinds of money to spend, advertising without follow-up just doesn't work. So there's a couple of examples and some real-life examples from a facilitator in our network today that utilizes the power and strategy of speaking engagements and engaging people one-on-one as well.
And thanks for
CJ.
Sharing some of the specifics, Frank, of what Loretta does to make those speaking gigs work.
Yep.
So just like Dean did when he was talking about his speaking, I think it's important to look at not just doing the speaking, but what are the elements of successful speaking to have it turn into an enrollment.
That's right.
So here's the thing that I find most often that doesn't work for facilitators. I'll get an email from a facilitator who says, basically, I'm really frustrated. I've been a Get Clients Now facilitator for 6 months, and I'm just not getting enrollments in my programs. And, I don't know what I need to do to get people to enroll in my programs. And sometimes they'll give me a little list of things they're doing. Sometimes we have to have a little dialogue in exchange for me to find out exactly what it is that they're doing to market their programs. 9 times out of 10, when I get an email or a phone call like that from a facilitator, what people are doing is they're posting a public group program on their website, and they're sending out emails about it, and they're maybe setting up an event on Facebook or LinkedIn and pushing out information about their program. And that's it. That's all that they're doing. And if you drill down into that a little bit more and you find out, okay, well, how many people are on your mailing list and how many people are in your Facebook or LinkedIn network? And you discover that what we're talking about is we're talking about a pretty small number. There's no way that you're going to be successful in filling public group programs by doing only that, by just posting it on your website, sending out emails, maybe doing a Facebook or LinkedIn event about it. It's not enough. It's not direct enough. It's not personal enough. It's not active enough. And it also, most of the time, I find with most facilitators, their audience for these things just simply isn't large enough to get enough of a percentage of return. Keep in mind that when what you do is you send out email to people who don't know you or people who really don't know you very well, its impact is just like the impact of advertising. It's not credible. It's not building a relationship. So this is the place where I think people most often go wrong. Frank said that I was going to say something about social networking, and you know, if you've read my newsletters for the last few months, you see I've been talking about social networking in a couple of different ways. I wrote an article in November called Social Networking Boon or Boondoggle, which I hope that most of you read. And then in this month's issue, what I was talking about was that networking needs to be more than just chatter. So if what you're doing is you're wanting to use Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn as a way of engaging people and staying in touch with them, you really need to engage. It doesn't work to just keep pushing out promotional items, right, or to keep pushing out simply chatter. Well, here's what I'm doing today. And, you know, that here's what I'm doing today isn't even necessarily particularly relevant to your business. What I named in this month's article, Networking More Than Just Chatter, as the things that you need to be looking for in your engagements are that they're meaningful, they're relevant, they're focused. That what you're doing is you are interacting with people in ways that allow you to demonstrate your expertise and to showcase yourself as a competent professional. You're letting people know about resources, things that are valuable, things that are useful that they might be able to take advantage of. And most of those things are things that they don't need to necessarily pay anything for. You're giving them away right there on the spot, or you're pointing to them to something. Or maybe it's a resource that they do have to pay for, but it's not something that you're getting paid for, right? So you're serving as a resource to them, letting them know about things that might be advantage to them. And if what you do with social networking is that you make sure that your posts are interesting and credible and useful and not merely promotional, people will be interested in what you have to say. They'll be following you and paying attention. And therefore, when you do make an announcement about, hey, I've got a program coming up, it's going to have much, much more impact than if all you ever do is tell people, hey, I've got a program coming up and you should enroll in it. So it's essential with your online social networking, just like with your in-person live networking, right, that you actually engage with people, that you ask them what's going on with them, that you provide them with information, inspiration, engagement that allows the two of you to get to know each other better, and that it's not all about making transactions and getting people to buy something. The same thing, too, when you're looking at making use of your network as referral partners. And I use the phrase referral partner a lot. not necessarily because referral relationships are always reciprocal, but because it really is a partnership in the sense that each person is getting something from it. Now, that doesn't always mean that you're giving referrals to the people that give them to you, but what that person is getting as the result of their relationship with you is something valuable to them that's keeping them in the relationship. That might be you're serving as a resource to them. It may be that you're providing a really needed service that a lot of their clients make use of. It may simply be that they've gotten to know you and like you. They enjoy your company. They enjoy exchanging with you. And so, therefore, they want to continue that relationship. It's really important, if you're expecting people to refer to you, to be looking for what you can do for them. And if it's not send them business in return, maybe that's not the position that they're in. Maybe they're not in business for themselves, right? Maybe they can't even make use of referrals. What can you do for them? It's a great question to ask people. How can I help you? And making sure that all of those relationships are reciprocal is the best way to really capitalize on your network. One of the phrases that I learned early on when I was just first getting my feet wet networking as a business person was, you need to give in order to get. And I think that's true with social networking. I think that's true with in-person networking. I think that's true with building relationships with referral partners, is that you need to have an attitude and an approach of generosity and reciprocity in order to see payoff from activities like this. So let's see what other questions or comments we have from our facilitators on the call today. Questions about anything that any of us have said, or something you're wondering about, or any more examples that you might have of things that do and don't work for you.
This is Tim in Minneapolis, and actually I'm in the suburb of with the great name of New Hope. At any rate, I too am in a B&I group. We have about 65 members, and it's a great resource, very similar to what Deirdre mentioned. But I've also had a lot of people who are suggesting that I work with various organizations. In fact, I kind of planted the seed for it, where I would go into, let's say, a realty office, where they would have quite a few realtors who could come together as a group for the program, or maybe an insurance office, or various kinds of places like that where a group could come together. And there's the possibility of charging, I know, an individual rate or perhaps a group rate for the, you know, that the company might pay, plus each one pays a little bit. There are very various possibilities there. And I'm just wondering what anybody's experience is in that area in terms of what to charge and how to set that kind of thing up. I've had a lot of interest, but I haven't actually been able to set one up yet.
Wonderful question, Tim. And, you know, I always love hearing facilitators say that they are trying to market programs in-house, because it can be a much more productive approach for marketing is to approach organizations that have a lot of people with similar characteristics on staff, like you said, real estate agents, insurance agencies, et cetera. So let me say something about that, and then let's see what other comments we have. It is a good idea when it's an organization that the people who work for them or with them are people who are not exclusively on salary. So there's some element of their compensation that is commission-based or profit-based. So like real estate insurance, right, where that's the case, to ask the individual to put something in the kitty as well as the organization, because that creates more engagement. And a lot of these franchise companies that have multiple professionals on staff actually have pre-existing models for that. They do that fairly often, where they ask the individual to contribute a portion, and then the organization contributes a portion. The key for making it succeed as a facilitator is that you need to make the organization responsible for enrollment, not you. right? So they need to be the ones that line their people up and collect the money. If they don't, then you're essentially running a public program and to a limited audience, right? So you do need to make that part of the deal that they're going to do the enrollment, collect the money, they're going to pay you. But it does make a lot of sense to have both the organization and the individual contribute if the organization is open to that. You know, sometimes the organization actually doesn't take anything, and they have the individuals pay full fee. That happens a lot with training schools. So if you're marketing Get Clients Now to, say, a coach training school or a massage therapy training school, right, the school might simply see this program as being an adjunct to what they offer. They don't teach people about how to market themselves. So it's a service they want to provide to their students, and they don't necessarily want to take anything. They may pass it all through to you, which is a really great arrangement because then the person who's participating is paying so that they're engaged. But you're still asking the school to do the enrollment and to collect the money. Frank, anything that you'd want to add to those questions?
Yeah, I think you know, Tim, you're certainly on to something here. And CJ mentioned, you know, doing in-house programs is a first of all, it very productive, but can also be very lucrative. One program can lead to basically kind of a cottage industry at times with a particular organization or a company or whatever. If you do it and you do a great job on the front end, they start to see and you create a buzz, your own buzz within that company. The idea here is to find and kind of seek out who are the players and the people who can make those decisions at the top level or whatever level they are, that also know how to engage the rest of the group to become to get the message out to those people in the organization. Because you're going to have a money person, you're going to have an internal person who wants to get you need to get the message out. You may have someone in accounting you have to deal with and with perspective to the fees and just the whole financial side of it. So you may have two or three people that you're going to be engaging with. But first and foremost, find that person who has the authority and can really can see the vision of what Get Clients Now can do into their own company. I also suggest looking at the facilitators resource facilitators center, and in there is a couple things for you: a marketing letter template for in-house programs and a proposal template for businesses and organizations. Those are two really good things for you. If you haven't checked them out yet, and for anybody else that's looking at this, those are two really good resources that can get you thinking about and organize your thoughts around how to present and propose and put things in front of people that you're talking about with in-house programs.
That's good. That'd be a big help. Is there any suggestion? Has anybody had any experience with even in this shared fees, what might be appropriate to charge the organization as, let's say, this is a minimum fee plus so much per person? Is there any willingness to share figures?
So I'm not hearing anybody who's on the call today who's willing to talk about that. I'll tell you, Tim, that what I've seen is all over the map. I have seen everything from like an 85-15 split, right, where the organization is taking 15% and giving you 85% of what their people are paying to participate, right? I've definitely seen that. I've seen organizations that are paying 50% and having the participant pay 50%. So the organization isn't taking, they're giving, right? They're making the payment themselves.
Okay.
Definitely seen situations where the organization is taking nothing and just, you know, passing the entire amount through to you. And I've also seen situations where it's a 50-50 split between you and the organization. In other words, the participant is paying, but the organization is taking 50% and only giving you 50%. Now, obviously, you would only want to do that if it was really worth your while.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. So any other questions, comments, thoughts about this topic today?
Hi, TJ. This is Deanna.
Yeah, Deanna.
You know, I've had a lot of great success public speaking with other offerings that I've had, but I found that when I use the suggestions for the Get Clients Now preview, that it's just not nearly as effective. And my thought is, and I'd love to hear some feedback and ideas, is that the preview, even just the 30-minute walkthrough suggestions, provides too much information or doesn't really connect the prospective clients that are paying around marketing enough. I find that people just leave overwhelmed, and so I would love to get some thoughts from everyone on the line around that. You know, how they set up their talks to really help people connect with what's possible, and that they can't do it on their own, or maybe they shouldn't. They should do it with the consultant.
Excellent question, Deanna.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know in my experience that the biggest key is getting people to participate, to not give them information exclusively, but to really get them to engage. And when I give a preview, typically what I will do before I tell them anything is I'll start by asking them a question. So instead of saying, okay, so here's 6 effective marketing strategies and their order of effectiveness, right? I may have that diagram, but I'll have it concealed, and I'll say to them, okay, so before we get started, why don't you guys tell me what works for you in marketing and what doesn't work? And we'll actually, you know, people will shout stuff out from the audience, and we'll begin with the conversation. And then I'll show them the diagram and talk them through it. And we'll, after I show the diagram and I talk them through it, I might say, okay, so great, you guys are marketing experts. You already knew this stuff. So how come you don't have all the clients you need? And everybody laughs. And then we talk about why they don't have all the clients they need, which very often is because they don't have consistency, right? They don't have a plan. They're not being targeted. They're afraid of follow-up. And what we'll talk about is how the Get Clients Now principles in the program can help them solve those specific problems. So in that interactive engagement with people, I think, just like Dean said, I think that's where the magic is. Frank, any thoughts about that for you?
Yeah. Deanna, you mentioned an interesting point when you were describing your situation was they don't feel enough of the pain. And I think what CJ was talking about is you get them into that discussion of what is that they're struggling with? What is it that they're finding pain in their marketing or selling? What are they having a difficult time with, and why can't they find all the clients they need? And so that engagement of that discussion and dialogue is huge before getting into any of the mechanics of the delivery of what you want to share. And that's not just with Get Clients Now. That's with anything. I mean, to get as a coach or consultant or trainer or whatever, that the more dialogue you get within a group, the easier it is you will be to get them engaged into the selling process.
Good. Excellent question, Deanna. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we need to wrap up here. Thank you, everybody, for your participation today. This was great.
Yeah.
And please mark your calendars for the next teleforum. That's going to be on Tuesday, June 7th at this same time, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. GMT. And really looking forward to re-engaging with you at that time. We'll be sending out information about a topic. And look forward to having you back here then.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.